Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Twits in Peril, a steampunk distraction by Tom Allen Robbins. We left our hero horrified by the arrival of his aunt Hypatia, Uncle Hugo, Cousin Binky, and C. Langford Cheeseworth, who have come to join him in the amusing game they call slumming. Is this the end of Cyril's chance to win his wager? Will he be forced to slink back to the club in disgrace? Join us now for Chapter 3, Wales is a Mysterious Place.
It is generally believed that family is a nourishing force in one's life. It was also believed for centuries that the sun rotated around the earth. In my experience, aunts and uncles exist to shed light on one's deficiencies, and cousins are a plague akin to scabies. There was certainly no way I could win my bet with this circus sideshow orbiting around me and the beady-eyed Cubby Martinez camped across the road with binoculars. Look here, Ernie. Perhaps I should speak to them alone.
I'll meet you back at the apartment.
Thanks awfully. I won't be long. Save me some cherries. Aunt, Uncle, Cheeseworth, Binky, Death Before Dishonor, what on earth are you doing here?
It's not my fault.
Death before dishonor, darling boy.
Death before dishonor.
Death before dishonor.
We're slumming. I've never had such fun.
Slumming, are you? Well, I hope you've enjoyed your little day trip. No doubt you can't wait to get back to civilization.
But darling, we've come for the week. Like you.
Binky told us everything. You're going by the alias Johnny and living the carefree life of the peasantry.
For heaven's sake, don't call them the peasantry unless you want to be chased with torches.
You're right. I must stifle my natural condescension.
But where are you staying? There are no hotels.
It's too divine. I had my land yacht disguised as a cargo truck. Come and see.
They led me around the corner, and there, parked in a weed-choked lot, was a rust-covered vehicle roughly the size of a freight car.
It's Trompe L'Oeil. I had a team of artists working on it all day.
As we drew closer, I could see that the rust was carefully painted on, along with dead leaves and faded graffiti. Cheeseworth led us to the back of the vehicle and pressed a nearly invisible button. A concealed door swung open, and a spring-loaded set of stairs unfolded.
Entrez, s'il vous plaît.
Hugo, we must acquire one of these vehicles.
Over my dead body.
A prophecy that may prove all too accurate.
As I climbed the steps, the inside of the truck filled with light from gas-fed chandeliers, and I beheld a wonder to rival Ali Baba's treasure cave. Every surface was gilded or upholstered in luxurious fabric. A table was set in the center of the room, and next to it stood Mrs. Cedar, the Cheeseworth family's mechanical housekeeper, holding a platter of hors d'oeuvres.
What are these refreshments, Mrs. Cedar?
Pate of sea creatures, sir.
I am deathly allergic to shellfish.
Not to worry, ma'am. There are no actual sea creatures in it.
That is a relief. Apparently, the name is meant to be poetic rather than descriptive.
Make yourselves at home, everyone.
I suppose you're wondering how we all came to be here.
It had crossed my mind.
It's my fault, dear boy. After you told me about slumming, I couldn't rest until I had tried it. I ran into Binky at the club and was surprised at how reticent he was to reveal the details of your excursion. But in the end, I winkled it out of him. He insisted on coming along. I knew Hypatia would love it.
And Hugo came as a necessary appendage.
Oh, thank you very much.
I told them how frightfully important it is not to reveal your true nature to the local populace and to call you Johnny at all times.
Yes, we quite understand. The adulation of the masses is a terrible burden. I myself experienced it when I chaired a charity bazaar. Apparently, I possess an overabundance of charisma. I had not a moment's peace. I would not repeat the experience for any amount of money.
What was the charity?
Oh, I don't remember. We were selling orphans or some such nonsense.
Finding homes for orphans, not selling them.
It amounts to the same thing, doesn't it?
Look here. It's crucial that everyone here believes that I am not special in any way.
That requires no subterfuge. It is simply the truth.
Yes. Thank you, Uncle Hugo.
It's too delicious. But my dear, you must sleep here with us. There are the most perfect little bedrooms in the back. You'll have one all to yourself.
I have never believed that temptation is a thing to be resisted. On the one hand was a charming little compartment in Cheeseworth's Rolling Palace with a luxurious bed in it, and on the other, half a mattress in a crowded studio. Why did I hesitate? Was it the thought that Ernie and his family would be disappointed? Or was it curiosity at what wonders might appear on their breakfast table? No one was more surprised than I to hear me saying, "Thanks awfully, but I've got a place to stay."
With a local?
Yes. A lovely family. They've invited me in.
You really are taking this slumming to an almost obscene level of authenticity.
If it's a thing worth doing, it's worth doing well. That's a saying, isn't it?
Suit yourself, dear boy. Now, tell us of your adventures.
Well, this has been an eye-opener, and no mistake. Our ideas about how the huddled masses live couldn't be more mistaken.
Produce an example. I cannot abide generalities. They make me feel as if others know more than me, which is insupportable.
For starters, they eat better than we do.
Impossible. My grocery bill would bankrupt a pasha.
It turns out that you can grow your own food for free, and it's delicious.
The fact that it is free is all you need to know. If a thing costs nothing, it follows that it is worth nothing. That is known as philosophy.
The high prices that we pay for our food ensure that it is beyond the reach of all but the wealthy. Exclusivity ensures quality. It is one of the perks of being rich.
But it tastes awful, doesn't it? Is it just me?
Poor Cyril. Being among these people, even for a day, has given you a condition known as Stockholm Syndrome. It was named for a scientist who visited Stockholm for a month and found that he developed a craving for lutefisk, which is generally known to be vile. Your taste buds have been brainwashed.
No! You must try it! You'll see!
I have no intention of succumbing to dysentery. We have brought frozen food and water for the week. That is sufficient.
Have you really eaten the local food? How brave you are. Do you think I would like it?
My boy, you'd love it. If you can buck the tide of public opinion, I'll take you to a meal you will never forget.
I say, I'm in.
Just don't bring anything communicable back to the land yacht.
What else have you discovered on your peregrinations?
Well, there's a terrible scandal going on with soybeans.
I must stop you there. The planting and composting of soybeans is one of Smythe Corporation's largest profit centers.
Well, I'm not going to stand for it anymore.
You comprehend that your aunt's fortune is largely based on her holdings of stock in your company?
Mine as well. Everything I have is tied up in Smythe Corporation stock. If you upend the business, I'll be ruined.
I'm afraid that ends the discussion. Family comes first. You must protect the profits of Smythe Corporation above all other considerations.
But we're doing terrible things.
That is all dependent upon your perspective.
It is said that behind every great fortune is a great crime. It follows that a fortune as immense as ours must require an ongoing series of great crimes to sustain itself. That is science, and therefore indisputable.
Look here, I can't very well go on as if nothing was wrong. We're poisoning people, forcing them into substandard living conditions, taking away any hope of fulfilling employment.
Those with the qualities necessary to rise above their condition will thrive. The rest are clearly satisfied to stay as they are.
Dash it all!
Either compose a sentence or stare into space. This sputtering is most unattractive.
You're being deucedly unsympathetic.
There must be poor people in order for there to be rich people. It is the contrast which defines us.
Yes, it is our differences which give savor to life. If we were all equal, life would be like a tepid bar.
I cannot subscribe to this point of view. These people are my friends.
And we are family, which is the opposite of friendship. You must make a choice.
Then I choose friendship.
Beware. Friendship is a bubble blown hither and thither by every fickle breeze. Family is like a suit of lead. Stable, substantial, inescapable.
Keep your leaden vestment. You may cower here in your gilded cage. I will cast my lot with the people. Good day.
But Cyril...
I said good day!
Wait, I'm coming too.
What? Why?
Our aunt frightens me. Besides, you promised me dinner.
Afraid you've missed dinner, old boy. But there may still be some cherries if we hurry. Are you sure you're up for this, old slipper?
No, but I'm protecting my interest. If I'm with you, I can help you win that bet.
Bravo! You are not quite the quivering panna cotta I took you for.
Thanks awfully.
Now, what shall we call you?
Oh, fun. Willy Whiffington Charles.
What about Dick?
What about it?
For a name. I'm Johnny and you're Dick and we're from Wales.
Why Wales?
Because no one knows anything about Wales. It's the most mysterious country on earth.
Fine. Dick. Hello, Dick. Have a drink. Dick, I suppose we'll do.
I'll introduce you as my cousin.
I am your cousin.
All the easier to keep our story straight. Hold on, we're getting close. I pulled Binky into the shadows and scanned the building opposite us. Cubby is in there somewhere, keeping a beady eye on me. Can you pull your top over your head to hide your face?
How's that?
It will have to do. We'll hurry through the lobby. The apartment is up 5 flights of stairs.
And we have to climb them?
Don't be a baby. We'll stop when we have to. I had built up some endurance already, and we sped up the 5 flights in under an hour.
I'd about given up on you.
He eyed Binky with alarm. Would you believe it? I ran into my cousin, Dick, in the street. He's come from Wales as well. What a coincidence. It's Dick.
So it is.
Can you manage it?
Of course. If we alternate sleeping head to head, we should all fit. Come on in. Look who's back. And he's brought a friend.
Hello, Johnny. Well, who's this?
This is my cousin, Dick.
Hello, Dick. Will you be staying with us?
If I may. It's very kind of you.
If we don't take care of each other, the corporate overseer certainly won't.
We saved you some cherries.
Oh, Dick, wait until you try them. Judy brought him the bowl and picked out a cherry.
Here, open wide.
Binky popped open his mouth like a baby bird, and she tossed in a cherry. Careful. There's something hard in the middle. Don't swallow it.
That's called a pit.
Have you really never eaten a cherry?
Do they not grow in Wales?
Binky bit down. His eyes widened.
Mm-hmm.
He made a soft mewling sound.
Mm-hmm.
Quick, shove a chair under him. He dropped into the chair. His eyes rolled up in his head. I think he's fainted. No, he's all right.
His eyes opened. He stared into Judy's face as if he was having a holy vision. He carefully ejected the cherry pit into my proffered hand.
What do you think?
Give me a moment.
His eyes focused on the middle distance. We all stared at him with various levels of concern. Finally, he sighed.
No, it won't do. I shall have to reevaluate all my beliefs.
I think he likes cherries.
You enjoy them while we make up the beds. It's late.
Is it?
We get up at 6 for work.
By Jove, that'll be a novelty.
What time do you get up in Wales?
Noon. Sometimes later, depending on the hangover.
It must be bad there if you have to drink to get through the day.
Simply awful. That's why we came here, you know, to start fresh.
Well, we'll help you in any way we can.
Will you? What an extraordinary girl you are.
Woman.
Pardon?
Girl is a diminutive term. I'm a woman.
You certainly are.
I don't suppose you're as evolved in Wales as we are here.
No, backwards sort of place. People blowing their noses in public and slapping each other on the back at all hours. Dreadful.
Right, the beds are made. Dick and Johnny, you'll crawl in with Ernie. Sleep well.
Yes, I'm sure we will. Won't we, Dick? Pinky was staring at the sleeping arrangements with horror.
I say.
Dick, you take the side by the wall. I'll sleep head to toe in the middle and Johnny can perch on the outer edge.
What about pajamas?
Don't use them. Frivolous, aren't they?
So we just sleep in our clothes?
You're welcome to sleep in the buff if you like. We'll hang a sheet up between us and the ladies.
No, this'll be fine.
I've got the light. Ready?
Judy turned down the gaslight and the room was plunged into darkness. The mattress was thin and lumpy. I lay on my back, staring up into the black. I could hear the sounds of fellow creatures all around me, breathing, tossing, gently coughing. How I longed for one of Bentley's nighttime elixirs. Ernie's feet lay between Binky and I, emitting a sour, earthy smell.
Sweet dreams all.
Night, Mum.
Yes. Night.
Indeed. I twiddled my fingers and tried to pierce the darkness with my eyes.
Say, Johnny?
Yes?
Are you whistling?
Oh, I suppose I am. Sorry.
You can't sleep?
Well, you know. New place and all.
Aw, you're still homesick.
I suppose that must be it.
What's it like in Wales?
Judy, leave him alone.
Well, maybe talking about it will be good for him. Is it beautiful there?
Oh, paradise. What with the Welsh mountains towering over it all.
And the lonely moors stretching off into the distance.
Sounds lovely.
And the fjords of Wales with their majestic glaciers.
Really? Wales has glaciers?
Only in the winter, of course.
As children, we would frolic in the snow and eat iced cream scooped right out of the ice.
I don't think that's where ice cream comes from.
Hush, Ernie. He's being poetical.
And then there's the people. Finest in the world. Sturdy, rough-hewn, plain-spoken Welshmen.
And Welsh women.
Oh, yes. Most beautiful in the world.
I disagree, old sloth. I think the women here are the loveliest I've ever seen.
Well, Dick, do you have your eye on someone special?
I do, but alas, I fear she doesn't know I exist.
Then you must tell her. Women are not mind readers, you know.
They certainly seem to anticipate my every move.
Hush now. It'll be a new day before you know it.
But I'm not the least bit sleepy, Mum.
Nor am I.
What are the politics like in Wales? Is there a resistance?
A resistance to what?
To things as they are. Business as usual. The oppression of the masses.
Oh, yes. We've got a cracking resistance. Many's the time my friends and I have met over a drink to point out the shortcomings of the local administration.
But what action are you taking?
Action?
To change things, to redistribute wealth, to break the power of the monopolies, to create meaningful jobs.
Well, it's funny you should bring that up. I was just saying to my friends in the Welsh underground that we've got to shake things up, don't you know, in a major way.
By doing what?
Well, you know, I've been formulating a plan, but it's top secret. Can't breathe a word of it, but it's a corker.
So you are one of the leaders of your movement?
Well, I don't like to brag, but some people call me the Welsh Rabbit. Because I'm so bally elusive, don't you know?
Really?
Perhaps you should put a sock in it and go to sleep, old rabbit, before you reveal anything top secret.
Yes. Perhaps we should all try to get some rest.
We'll talk more tomorrow, Dick. Oh, there are some people I want to introduce you to.
Only too happy. Any friend of yours, etc. Looking forward to it.
That's enough now.
Good night, Mum.
I carefully slid my head over as close to Binky as I could. This, unfortunately, brought me smack up against Ernie's stockinged feet. Breathing through my mouth, I whispered in Binky's ear. Now you've done it, you dunderhead. Why couldn't you keep quiet?
I couldn't help it. Isn't she wonderful?
Who?
Judy. I think she's the loveliest girl I've ever seen. Do you think I have a chance?
No. By no means. Absolutely not. Put it out of your head entirely.
I think I do. I detected a certain note in her voice when she spoke of financial redistribution that was almost tender.
Will you, for the love of all that's holy, go to sleep?
Good night, Cyril. I mean, Johnny.
Good night. And with that, I moved as far away from Ernie's feet as possible and tried to imagine myself in my silk sheets at home, with a brandy on the nightstand and the soothing sounds of Bentley oiling his gears in the moonlight.
Good night, Cyril. Sweet dreams. You'll need all your strength tomorrow. Join us next time for Chapter 4, I Get a Job. And now, let us bow down before the brilliance of our cast, without whom we would be as dust, blown hither and yon by the winds of fortune. Michael Urey as Cyril Chippington Smythe. Kristen Borrell as Cheswick Wickford Davies. Binky to his friends. Dakin Matthews as Bentley. Mary Tester as Auntie Pasha. Nick Sullivan as Uncle Hugo. Stephen DeRosa as C. Langford Cheeseworth. Lily Cooper as Judy. Fergie L. Philippe as Ernie, Rachel York as Mum, Wesley Taylor as Cubby Martinez, Teddy Udane as Sven, the bartender, Anne Harada as Mrs. Cedar, James Rana as Lincoln, Nick Walker as Ford, Katie Blake as Martha, Stephen Berger as Sid, Jacob Smith as an advertisement. Jacob Smith as Man One. Lilius White as Woman One. And yours truly, Lilius White, as a disembodied, omnipotent voice. Written by Tom Allen Robbins. Co-directed by Tom Allen Robbins and Dori Berenstein. Produced by Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, Brittany Bigelow, and the Broadway Podcast Network. Sound effects consultant, Eric Wright. Sound designer and editor, Brett Ashley. Executive produced by Liz Armstrong. Good day.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.